G'day.
How are you?
I'm great.
Great to see you again, mate.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, we're back. John has changed his shirt and is now Damien. How are you, sir?
I feel good. I feel good with the new shirt on.
You feel good? It's lovely.
Yeah, thank you.
It fits you.
Thank you.
Let's talk social.
Social.
Brilliant.
All right.
Number of new features in ASP.NET to make social easier. So what does that mean, social?
So it could mean a number of things, but what we're talking about is social networks. So Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, those type of applications. Mm-hmm. And how do you write apps that integrate with those? Web apps, in this case.
So there's authentication to authenticate via some social service.
Yep.
Then there is accessing the data of that social service, the social graph, as they say.
Yes.
And then, of course, from my perspective, there's also the little tiny details of social, which are like helpers that let you tweet things and like things and plus one things.
Or show the latest tweets on my page or stuff like that.
I think, for me, that auth is the most interesting one.
Me too.
Yeah. So let's take a look at the slides. Cool. Next one. So we are here in the day, in case you're wondering. After this will be mobile, and you're going to do amazing things with SignalR. What do all these companies have in common?
They all let you log in with an individual user account, which is great, and likely someone visiting your site will have an account on one of these sites, at least one, if not more than one.
Exactly. And if you don't have one on at least one of these sites, you probably
you're not using the
internet. Not very social person.
That's right.
Not very social person. So there's a number of protocols to make this work, and there was a time when OpenID was going to be a thing where you'd set it up on your own site.
Right.
And you'd use like an OpenID provider.
Right.
I used my OpenID and I would log in at Hanselman.com. But Twitter and Facebook happened and suddenly I find myself logging in more to sites with Twitter.
Right.
Than with Hanselman.com.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why that happened.
Well, I guess OpenID was the idea that you could own your identity on your infrastructure or your URL and sort of own that. And with the advent of social networks and social sites where I have content that's on someone else's site, but you may want to access that content on my behalf to do something with it, we got OAuth out of
it. So OpenID was initially about this idea of identity, but then OAuth extended that, and it was more about I need permission not to impersonate you, but rather to access the things that you keep at that place.
Yes, because I said you could.
Right, exactly. Yes. So it's a proxying to say, you can look at my GitHub projects, you can read my tweets.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's a much more, arguably, a much more interesting problem to solve.
Yeah, that's
true. And a much more interesting thing for web developers. So let's take a look at OAuth Flow.
So this is a typical flow that you might find inside an application that's using OAuth from another website. So if you were to do, as we'll see in a moment, file new web application in Visual Studio 2012, we kind of set this up for you out of the box. Mm-hmm. So it starts off with your app. So this is DamienEdwards.com or whatever it might be. And I wanted to let John Galloway log into my site using his Facebook account. And then maybe I want to read his Facebook graph after that. So what I will do is redirect his web browser to the provider, the Facebook website, some URL that they provide to me in their SDK documentation, and then it will ask him to log in using Facebook. So I never see his credentials. He's actually logging in to Facebook. So he enters the credentials there. And then Facebook says, yeah, this is John. I know who this is. Generates some goop, a big string, which we call this token thing, and then we kind of redirect you back via the browser back to DamienEdwards.com. And then DamienEdwards.com takes that goo and says, okay, well, John gave me this goo. I don't really know it's from Facebook yet. Let me make a call to Facebook. And then let me validate that goo so I actually do know that it's John. And Facebook says, yep, this goo, this token is perfect. It's John. Party on with John's data.
So when I have seen a couple, 3-4 years ago logging in, it always feels like a whole pile of redirects.
Yes.
And I always feel like somebody evil could do something in one of those
redirects. In one of the steps,
and
right?
I don't know what's going on, but it's like click, 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 on and back.
Yeah.
Someone could do something bad, but it's that circling around back.
Correct.
That makes it secure.
Correct. So they only, so as we said, like DamienEdwards.com wouldn't be getting John's credentials, and all the redirects are generally happening over like SSL, so all the stuff going through the query string can't be read by intermediate parties. That's it's really important. Anytime you're doing authentication over the internet, it should be done over SSL.
Okay.
And then once the token is provided by John to me, I have to be able to validate that it really is John, and only Facebook can do that because they gave him the token. So I need to call to Facebook from my server code, actually from my ASP.NET app, call out to Facebook, pass in the token, then they tell me it's okay.
So it's kind of like someone shows up at your front door, says, hey, I'm your cousin.
Yeah.
take a picture, go call someone, you know if this is really
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they go, yes.
Oh, hey, come in.
Absolutely.
I mean, then why don't I trust you?
Absolutely.
But revocation is also interesting. You can actually say, I don't trust you anymore.
That's right.
Like, you know, you can't, the vampire has been invited in.
Yep.
I rescind your invitation, and then the vampire floats out the front door and they can't come back in your house anymore.
Yeah. So at the end of that whole exchange, Facebook gives me back a new token. Mm-hmm. And I think it was on the slide there, the access token. This is the thing that my app will actually use now to access John's data in the future. And if any point in time John says, hey, you know, I don't trust DamienEdwards.com mm-hmm. anymore, he can go into Facebook.com, go into the settings and say, nope, don't allow that. And next time I try and make a call with that token, it'll fail.
And interestingly, there's two ways to revoke. You can revoke a person, mm-hmm. or revoke an entire app.
Right.
So if you look at the next slide, you can see where if you want to set up an application on Windows Live, you have to name that app. So the author of the app needs to say, I'm making the webcams app. Or whatever.
Yep.
And then once someone's logged in and used this, you could say, I, Damien, no longer want you to use my app. Or I discover as an administrator that, oh man, webcams is evil. Windows Live could toss everyone.
Right, absolutely.
Using webcams.
Yep.
So let's take a look at a demo of that. I'll switch over to my machine here. And we'll go and we'll just fire up another one. And here, we can pick any one of these. I'll just pick internet application. Mm-hmm. Hit OK. And this is coming to you in the default template. I don't have to do anything to do this.
Right.
So we're going to go and run this. This is the template you've seen before, the one we use for responsive design. Now, rather than hitting register, which is what I used to do, you type in a local username.
Just looks the same. Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to hit login. Now, this is the first time I've ever run this application, though. I could use a local account to log in, but over here it's saying, well, you could use another service.
Right.
Currently, though, we don't have any external services configured. I'm going to pop in over here and take a look at auth config. What's going on in here?
So, again, this is a brand new application that you just created out of the
box. File new project.
File new project. So we have a whole bunch of configuration goop here. I mean, it's code-based configuration, but it's still configuration. Mm-hmm. And we drop this into the template, and it's saying, hey, if you want to enable login via Twitter or another mm-hmm. social account, all you need to do is uncomment one of these lines.
Right. So let's do a Twitter one.
Okay. And we can see that it's asking for some extra information there that it's probably going to be more than the empty string that it currently is now.
Exactly. It wants two things here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over to Twitter. But specifically, I'm going to go to dev.twitter.com/apps. And I have some apps in there.
Oh, cool.
Did you know this?
Yeah.
There's Nerd
Dinner,
of course.
Tweet Sandwich.
Tweet Sandwich.
Yeah.
Tweet Sandwich, legendary. This one here, see how it says allows Quiznos franchises?
To take orders over Twitter.
It's actually not Quiznos franchises. It's just the one in my town.
You know how I read that?
How'd you
to
know?
Take over Twitter. I didn't see the orders.
You
were like planning world domination for Quiznos.
You like my Twitter icon there?
I do like
that. I worked very hard on that. that was an app, a WPF app, that would I would tweet my order, mm-hmm. and then it would print out at the local shop.
Awesome.
So I'm going to create a new application, and I'm basically registering this with Twitter, Damien Edwards. This is a test app for Damien Edwards. Hanselman. Now, callback URL.
Right. So this is the thing that Twitter is going to call back to you at some point. They have to redirect John Galloway, in my example before, back to DamienEdwards.com. Mm. So where does that go? They don't know where it is. Now, you can put that URL in here, and some providers will let you flow that URL via the query string as well.
Okay. So CAPTCHA. That's a new one. I've never seen that.
Is that a photo?
It's a photo of someone's
That's
number.
That's skewed. That's impressive.
It's probably from like Google Street.
Right. Someone's mailbox.
Someone's trying to do something sneaky. Okay. Now, got the app. Now the secrets.
Aha.
Consumer key.
So the consumer key is not a secret. Consumer key is the thing that identifies your application to Twitter. So the name is something, is a friendly name, so that when
it's just a GUID.
This is basically
it's
a GUID.
It's not Damien's. I could change Damien's app.
Correct, to something
that
else.
That never changes.
Correct.
This
so is
the
ID. This app.
Yeah. Okay, that is my app.
Yeah. This is the secret.
That's a secret.
Yeah, so you generally don't share anybody. This with anybody. So we will delete this app after this demo is done.
Someone's probably doing this.
Right now
they're going to ruin it for everybody. Okay, so we've done that now.
Yep.
And is that secure? I mean, I'm on the server, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to do this on the client, or something with Tweet Sandwich.
Right.
I probably want to encrypt that in some way.
Well, you'd probably want to ensure it's done over SSL.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll run our app. Come over here to log in. Now the Twitter button's shown up.
Awesome.
Did it just magically show up because I uncommented that?
It did. So with that, you'll notice that that API was a static API hanging off something called OAuth Web Security. What that did was put an entry in a dictionary in memory, and at runtime that UI goes, hey, anything in the dictionary? There is. Let me render a button for it.
So then that makes me think that these are just helper methods or extension methods.
That's exactly what they are.
So that makes me think that I could probably go like this.
Well, that's actually a static class in this case, and is wrapping a bunch of stuff under the covers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I could make a custom one.
You can make a custom provider, an auth provider in this case. Yep.
Okay, cool. If I click on that.
Unauthorized.
What does that mean? That mean we weren't allowed to make a call out?
I don't know.
It happened immediately. Maybe it's because I messed with the code while I was doing it.
Let's have a look.
Let's try it in another browser to make sure it's not something I'm doing here. Okay, what does that mean?
Well, it means it's calling request authentication on the OAuth Web Security API, and you can see in the call stack there, .NET OpenAuth is sending the request off to Twitter, and Twitter has said, nope, return to 401.
Are we sure it went to Twitter?
Won't see it in here.
I won't see it in there because it didn't happen from the browser.
Correct, happened from the server, so you need to look at Fiddler.
All right. Let's do that. Just look for it anywhere.
Yep.
Okay.
So the next one underneath that, you can see the tunnel to... Okay, so you'll need to enable... Yep.
So I'm going to basically say, this is an SSL call, so I'm going to go and say, it's okay for me to decrypt SSL.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to basically allow it to be evil.
Let's see what this does, hey? I'm not actually seeing a request to Twitter there.
No, I don't think it's actually making the call. That one happened.
Are you running another Twitter client at all?
I don't have a Twitter client.
Okay. So something's calling out to Twitter, and it's calling out to api.twitter.com.
Well, so here's a question. When this thing said, it said, wait a moment, maybe it hasn't...
That's a good point.
Maybe it hasn't updated yet.
Maybe it's not actually available yet.
Because when I ran that, it said, you need to think about this for a while.
Okay.
So, I don't know, update again. Note your changes may take a moment to reflect. So
interesting.
It sounds like it might not be
instantaneous. Yeah.
Try it again. Because the definition of insanity is trying it multiple times.
Trying one more time, expecting a
different result.
Yeah.
Here we go. That makes me think unauthorized. So either, oh, by the way, notice this here. Know the user agent?
Yes.
This is actually some open source software that we're using. We use .NET OpenAuth to do this.
Yep.
Andrew Arnott, friends.
And so if there is an error, further information, Twitter will sometimes return it in a header for you. So if we look in the response headers, is there any error?
So I'm hearing unauthorized.
Yep.
And we passed in.
Now, you told Twitter a callback URL? You configured a callback URL?
No, I did not.
Ah, interesting.
So desktop applications only support
the OAuth callback. So perhaps you need to go back into your app settings on Twitter and provide a callback URL that matches our current one, which is a localhost colon whatever that port was.
Okay. Just this.
So this is an interesting actual occurrence because when you're doing this type of development against the different
because I'm on localhost too
providers. Yeah, some of the providers are very strict about redirecting back to specific host names. So for instance. Facebook will, I think, let you redirect back to a URL that's different to what you configured. You can pass it through in the query string. Whereas I think from memory, Twitter doesn't let you. You have to have the URL entered in here, and it must match the one that was passed through. This was a few months ago when I did this.
So do I just go like that?
I think so. We'll try that.
Just that bit there.
And then Microsoft account was the most strict of all. You couldn't even use a local host callback. You had to configure a host server.
Not a valid URL format.
What is it?
Only the domain specified.
All right, so try that.
Not
liking the port at all. And it has some...
I don't think this is what we need to be doing. Not going for it.
I think it is to do with the callback URL.
You think it does?
I think it is. I'm just reading the help underneath the callback URL box there.
Okay.
That you were filling in on the
Let's
Twitter
go
site.
Back over there.
And it's talking about the parameters that are used to pass that through.
Okay. Let's take a look. So I can double check that these are correct.
Yep. That's always
good. I only want read only.
Mm-hmm.
Over here in settings, read only. So.
Yep. So that's
where should we return? Here it says for anywhere applications.
I'm not quite sure what that means.
OAuth 1. It's their new thing.
It's a brand new thing.
OAuth 1.0 application should explicitly express the callback URL.
On the request login step, which we will do for you, regardless of the value given here, to redirect your app using callbacks, leave the field blank.
So then what would that be? That would be localhost.
It would.
I would think. Is this not working?
Because I don't... Part of the host.
Not a valid URL format.
It's probably going to want the full URL in this case. Where are you going to redirect back to? If we went back into Fiddler, we should be...
Kind of curious.
See if that works.
I want to see if it
lets it in.
No. Let me see this.
Yeah, put in something real.
This is not real. .com. See that?
Yep. Doesn't like localhost.
Doesn't like localhost.
All right.
But it also, did it not update?
It says it may take a moment to reflect.
Okay. So while that's happening, let me go out here and I'll do a developer command prompt. And we'll go down into...
Do some host magic.
Yeah, we'll go down into drivers, Etsy. Look at our hosts. I could also use someone like localhost.me or something like that.
Yep. And this is not an unusual problem when dealing with external services of any sort, trying to call back.
What did I call it?
This is not real.com, I think it was.
No, but
and now you're using IIS Express, which won't let you bind unless you set up an explicit binding to that URL name.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think we bail on this one.
We can. So one last thing I would check is go back into Fiddler. You still got it running? Yep. So you can see that, find that URL. I think you're already looking at it. It's still the URL you're looking at before. You should be able to look at the request and see
the local host.
See the callback provider.
Yeah. See. Oh, that's a good point. So what they're doing is they're calling account.
Right.
External login callback.
Right.
Indicating that Twitter, because and this was provided by you.
Right.
So we, you mostly, provided that. Then what would happen is that would come back over to our application.
Correct.
Which would then grab that in an external callback.
Yep.
And that callback would then associate the local accounts.
That's right.
What I'll do is I'm going to just turn on Google Client, which is kind of a well-known one. That doesn't require me to do a little dance.
Correct.
As we're doing right here.
It uses OpenID instead of OAuth.
So we'll do login, and now Google appears. We'll hit Google. I'll log in to my Google account. Now Google is an interesting one for a number of reasons. When I hit sign in, I have two-factor authentication.
Ah, yeah, I've got this set up too.
Right.
That's good.
So I have to go to my phone now and get a secret code that will expire in a few seconds.
Yep.
Type that in. Now it's saying localhost. See how helpful they are?
Yeah.
Unlike Twitter, that's like, no.
No.
Probably for a number of reasons doing that. Okay. Associate your Google account. You have successfully associated with Google. Enter a username.
Yep.
So I could say whatever I wanted to.
So we got that username back from Google.
So now I'm logged in to ASP.NET membership.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I have no local user.
That's correct.
But I could click on that now. I've got a external login. I could make a local login if I wanted to.
Yep.
So now I have this external login and a local login.
Correct.
I could add different external logins if I wanted to.
Yeah, that's right.
And then remove them, and then we're even smart enough to not let you remove the last login.
Correct. We don't want to let you delete the last way to log into a site.
So I can remove Google now. Because I set a local password.
That's correct. Yeah.
Exactly. So the problem that we had there with Twitter was that they've tightened things up because this used to work.
This used to work. It did.
And they don't want that local host.
They don't let us do local host anymore.
So the other idea would be like localhost.me.
Yep.
Localtest.me.
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 which I think you have to go / about or something.
Yeah, something like that. But
it's something.
Basically, these are different accounts that are out there on the net
right. That
allow you to go and talk to these things. Now, Damien's point about thisisnotreal.com, mm-hmm. I would have to go and tell IIS
Express.
And the way that you do that, mm-hmm. if you're a blogger, is you go to handsomeone.com. And then you go and you say, IIS app command.
Yep.
Express.
Yep.
And I'm guessing. Is there a way to do this in Visual Studio?
Not what you're wanting to do. So specifically what you're trying to enable mm-hmm. is to add a binding. You can see that right there in the config
right.
you've got up
so
there.
So you can do this a couple of ways. You can go and do this with... you can go and do this with app command from the command line.
Correct.
Or you can do what I like to do.
Just do it manually.
Right. Because I want to know what's going on.
Because that site exists in this file somewhere, site you just created.
So we have been working on
18168. That's it.
Okay.
So there it is, and there's the binding information. You can see it's only bound to localhost. So we could add another one.
Go and add another one.
Yeah.
This is not real.com.
Right.
Can I keep the same port?
Yes. Let's try that.
I appreciate your confidence.
In
very,
theory,
very nice.
Yes.
Of course you can.
Of course you can.
I have no idea, Scott.
Yes.
Why don't you try?
I'm taking a punt.
Nice. See? Failed to register a URL.
Now, because by default, you cannot do non-local host without being an admin with IIS Express.
Okay.
Right.
So then I'm on MVC application 16.
Yes.
So I'll close that down. Then I'm going to... Control-Shift-Click.
To start as admin.
Start it up again. Go back over into MVC application. And you notice here it says I'm an administrator.
Right.
Okay. Load that up. Run. And then this here I'm going to change to thisisnotreal.com.
There we go.
You see it's being served.
Yep.
This is totally not on script.
No.
I'm going to actually do it from over here because I'm already logged into Twitter. Okay.
Yep.
Log in, Twitter.
Look at that.
Authorize Damien Edwards?
Yep.
No. That's the answer. Come back.
Perfect.
Now you have associated your Twitter account. Register. Hello, Chancellor.
There it is.
Now, of course, here I've got different people because I chose to not change my username.
That's right.
So in this instance, there's Chancellor. And there's Scott at Hanselman.
Well, you weren't already logged into the site.
Exactly. So what I could do is I could actually log out, log back in.
Yes.
Log in with Google.
And I can tell you what's going to happen before you
even try
it.
It's going to say, you can't do it. The username already exists.
It's even weirder than that.
Oh, yeah?
And we can have a talk about this because it's interesting. You try it, and I'll tell you what happens as it happens.
I can. I'm stuck here.
So you can keep the same name. It doesn't really matter.
Right, well, this is stopping.
Try logging in first. So just log in as Google because you've already got that set up, right? You haven't deleted the database.
So, well, I'm log in regular?
Just log in, yeah.
Oh, okay. What wants to register?
No, you're still logged in with the Twitter account.
Oh, I see.
So you'd have to close your browser and go to it again.
All right.
Delete that cookie. So what's going to happen now is you're going to visit the site. You're going to log in using Google because you'd associated that previously.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to go and try and associate Twitter with the account that is currently associated with Google. You're going to add that extra association.
Okay, and that probably won't work, I would think.
And what we're going to see is the default behavior that we shipped out of the box, and I'll talk a little bit about why we did it that way and what you might want to do in your app to change that.
I've angered the beast because there's so many browsers running here.
And there are a lot of browsers running.
Yeah, I've got a little bit out of control. Google.
Let's see if one of them will respond.
So there's Google. Fiddler's saying,
Fiddler's
are you sure?
Running. Yeah.
Bad things are happening.
Yep.
Fiddler is upset with us because it's watching our SSL traffic.
Yes. Okay, so now you're in, and it doesn't think you've associated before. That's interesting.
It was Chancellor before.
That was Twitter, though. Interesting.
But we changed, see. So I'm pretty much stuck.
That local username already exists. So what would happen generally is if you would log in with one that you know works, right?
So I'm pants now.
Right. I think, did you click remove before when you were able to click remove when you added a password?
Sure.
I think you might have clicked remove.
See, I've registered Google.
So add Twitter.
This
will work anyway. So add your Chancellor. And we'll see what happens. And it may not be what you expect.
Oh, it replaced it.
No. Look up in your address bar. it's logged you back in as Chancellman.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Because I have two accounts.
Correct.
And I have gone and tried to add something to an account
that is already existing in the system.
I can't be two places at once.
We log you out.
Put
and
me
log
back
you in
where
as
I was.
New person.
That's actually a tough problem.
It's very tough to solve.
But it makes total sense.
So someone like Stack Overflow in the past, they would actually require you to email support to fix this problem, because automating a fix is really difficult.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So the thing that we learned about the Twitter one was that localhost doesn't work anymore. So what I did was I edited the file that was
applicationhost.config,
application.config,
my documents isexpress/config,
and I added my fake domain.
Yep.
Which I put in my host file.
Yes.
Then I made sure that fake domain is sitting in my Twitter dev account.
The callback URL.
Yep. For that callback.
And in fact,
URL.
You wouldn't even need to do that. Twitter said that they would just honor whatever the website will pass.
So I probably could have removed that as long as that host name was correct.
It's not localhost.
I had to actually visit that.
Yeah, exactly.
I probably didn't need to tell them that.
Yeah.
But that was super interesting.
That is interesting.
And that's the general idea.
And
you could plug in other ones. You could potentially plug in GitHub or anyone that follows the protocol.
This
is all built in. Now, how would someone who already has membership?
Now, that's a very good point. So what we saw here was MVC. Now, MVC ships using simple membership in MVC4. Mm-hmm. You can do this in WebForms as well, but WebForms is configured to use the existing membership system. Mm-hmm. And then we have a different set of OAuth helpers to enable the exact same thing that we've seen here. But basically, the same thing happens. You end up with a bunch of tables that maps OAuth-type logins to ASP.NET type logins.
So this makes sense to me.
Right.
I've seen that before.
Yep.
These are just additional tables.
Correct.
So someone who had an existing database could add these tables.
They could. So you could NuGet in the OAuth support that we have. You would have to copy the code from the template. All the code in the templates and the UI is not in NuGet.
Okay. So now I go back over here, go into this app, and I could recreate my access token or delete the whole thing.
Right.
So now I'm deleting the Damien Edwards app.
Yep.
And now, theoretically, would it be fair to say that I should not be able to log in?
Correct. It should not work.
So I go log in as Twitter.
Yeah.
Now we're back to where we were before.
Unauthorized.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's switch back to the slides. Now, I know that we were moving a little fast there.
Yeah.
But we hit a bug.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really our bug. It was like stuff happens.
Twitter changed
their thing.
Yeah.
So what did we learn about that?
Yeah.
Nothing is a black box. This is really important. Nothing's a black box out there on the web. If you feel like something has changed and you're overwhelmed, remember that no one is really hiding anything from you. First, we opened up F12.
Right.
That let me see my browser traffic. Then I said, well, that's not where it is.
Right.
You said that.
I said server to server.
So then I said, oh, server to server, because that was the server calling back. We opened up Fiddler.
Yep.
Saw a bunch of traffic. Oh, this is SSL.
Yeah.
Black box.
Yep.
Foiled again. Well, SSL is a connection to connection. We put a man in the middle.
Yep.
Specifically Fiddler, explicitly trusted them.
Yep.
Then we talked through Fiddler off to Twitter, saw the stuff. So each time we hit a black box and felt thwarted in some way.
That's right. Took the lid off. Had a look.
We took the lid off.
Yeah.
You guys should feel confident and comfortable doing that as well. Just wanted to point that out. Let's go back to the slides. So one of the other things that we can do are create Facebook applications. So not necessarily an application that runs like on your website, but one that runs inside, authenticated by Facebook.
Right.
Gives you access to the Facebook identity, but also their social graph, your friends, friends of friends, and all the complicated privacy issues that come around.
And anyone who's used Facebook will have used a Facebook app written by one of the games or one of the little social things.
Exactly. So this is an example of the kind of the graph API that you'll get back. Here's a JSON
blob
that indicates the person and his bio and his phone number and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's JSON, though. Again, it's not rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hidden from you. Go ahead. So this is part of the Facebook C# SDK. This is included with the Facebook application template. Supports all the different platforms. You can go and use this SDK on Windows Phone or Windows Store, whatever you like. We've got it all set up here for you in ASP.NET. Gives you access to the Graph API. You can talk to these APIs using dynamic objects. So here, he's doing an await, and see how he's pulling out the information from that into a dynamic called me.
Mm.
Then he can go and grab me.firstname, me.lastname. So as Facebook changes their JSON or adds new information,
right,
you can get a hold of that without having to have strongly typed objects.
Like a contract that's specified, exactly.
Exactly. So then there's an example where he just posted to the wall.
Right.
So there's a template built in. We'll look at that very, very briefly. That includes this SDK so that you can go and write, you know, the next great tiny tower or whatever the kids are playing today.
Sure.
There's an example of kind of the jumpstart Facebook app. Inside Facebook. So yeah. It actually runs in Facebook and is able to access their stuff. And that's kind of why they call Facebook a platform.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Go ahead and switch back over to me. And when you say file new project, you're going to see a number of choices. One of them right here is the Facebook application. If I hit OK on that, it's going to bring in some stuff. And if we look at our references, it's actually pulling in the Facebook SDK. We can poke around in here. We've got user information all deriving from very helpful things. So, like, this is a Facebook update controller letting you know what's going on. It's very smart. You can look at the different notifications. Something has just happened to that user. What am I going to do about it? If you're an ASP.NET programmer, you know this stuff already. Here's an example of a Facebook user. And then there's some really cool attributes that the Facebook SDK uses to allow you to populate them. So the person's Facebook picture can show up there.
Oh,
and
nice.
They'll go and they'll yank it out of the JSON property,
right.
Populate it, and then you're handed not just name and email, like we saw with OAuth, mm-hmm. but the little bit richer graph information in Facebook that gives you their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Notice here we could say, well, I only want to get the first 8 friends.
So it's more than
and
just
I only
a
want large pictures.
Chatty API surface. I can kind of declare an object here, and it'll just fill it using the attributes.
Exactly.
That
declare
set.
What
nice.
You need. And now Facebook app development is open, very, very clean for C# developers.
Looks like .NET. Like, I wouldn't know
it's
any
is.
Different.
Because yeah. it is. Very cool. All right. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about mobile. Tell your friends, call your mom. Mobile applications coming up next. Whoo!